miraculous events of companions. Miraculous events of companions. Miraculous events of companions. Radiallahu anhum. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome once again in our new episode of our program The Miraculous Events of the Companions, a program that is dedicated towards presenting a tribute in the court of the Sahaba and talking about their karamat, the miraculous events that were manifested by them. And from this perspective, we try to look at their greatness, their excellence, and how greatly they were honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As here is, the Honorable Sahaba alayhim ridwan are the greatest of the awliya. After Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, they are the ones who hoisted the flag of Islam high, and they are the ones who spread the message of Islam all around the world. And the Sahaba, dear viewers, the status that they possess, the rank that they possess, no one in the world can ever reach to their status, no matter how great a wali becomes, no matter how great a qutub a ghawthi becomes. No one, non-sahabi, can ever reach the rank of a sahabi. They are the most elite among the ummah. And devious way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed normal awliya with many karamat, then we can imagine that the karamat that would be blessed to the honorable companions alayhim ridwan, how great they would be. And beyond anything, devious, only the rank of being a companion is beyond anything. This is the greatest of the blessing that they hold. No matter how many acts of worship all the awliya, all the aghyath, all the aqtab collectively perform since the time of Prophet Adam alayhi salam until the day of judgment, all of them collectively together cannot even be equal to a small amount of worship that any sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam performs. No matter whether gold to the amount of all the mountains of this world are donated, are given in sadaqah by all the awliya and all the aktab and aghyath of this world, but a small amount of sadaqah that a sahabi radiallahu anhu gives, that would overweight all the amount of sadaqat that all the non-sahabi individuals, awliya, akhtab, collectively would perform. So the sahaba devas are the most elite, and they are those sacred individuals who are our role models, who are not ordinary individuals. An ordinary wali devas is not ordinary. A non-sahabi, someone who's not a sahabi but a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this very individual would not be considered as an ordinary individual, as he is a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there are certain ranks within the awliya. But when we talk about a sahabi, devious, sahaba akram alayhim ridwan are not ordinary individuals by any means. They are very, very elite. And whenever we talk about the Sahaba, we should make sure that we have that that element of respect and eminence for them in our minds as we are talking about them. And we need to realize and understand that they are not any ordinary individuals. They are the most elite of the people. And dear viewers, this very program in which we talk about the karamat of the Sahaba, alhamdulillah, this is mainly to shed light on some of the karamat, the miraculous events that were manifested by the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And at the moment, dear viewers, we're talking about the miraculous events of the third caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala. And we are looking at his greatness. We are trying to shed light on the eminence of Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu from the perspective of the saintly miracles, on the miraculous events that were manifested by him. Inshallah, dear viewers, today we'll talk about certain miraculous events that were manifested by him, Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu, especially from the perspective of coming to know about the place of his passing and also how greatly he was blessed by beholding the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam in his dream prior to his martyrdom. But before we do that, dear viewers, as our routine, let's first of all enlighten our hearts by listening to a virtue of sending peace and salutation upon the noble Prophet, the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Dear viewers, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam has stated that he who sends salat upon me once, Allah Almighty showers 10 mercies upon him. He who sends salat upon me 10 times, Allah Almighty showers 100 mercies upon him. And he who sends salat upon me 100 times, Allah Almighty inscribes between both his eyes that this person is free from hypocrisy and fire of hell, and on the day of judgment will be kept among martyrs. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So dear viewers, the first miraculous event of Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu that we will cover today is very faith refreshing, it's very faith enlightening, which Sayyidina Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu, another very prominent companion, another very prominent Sahabi, he reports. Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu reports that during the days when the rebels, they laid a siege to the house of Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu, during that time, not even a single drop of water could enter, could go in the house of Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu. And our master, our leader, may our lives be sacrificed for him, Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu, would remain restless due to thirst. So Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu says that in these days, I went to meet him. Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu was fasting. So dear viewers, you can imagine the severe circumstances, the intense circumstances that Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu is facing. The rebels have laid a siege to his house. There's not even a single drop of water that can enter in his house. But even at this time, dear viewers, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, our master, our leader, our aqa, he radiallahu anhu is in the state of fasting. Fasting for the sake, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in this state, dear viewers, Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu is worshipping Allah Almighty. So he was in the state of fasting. Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu says that when Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu saw me, he said to me, "Oh Abdullah bin Salam, today I was blessed with beholding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam in my dream. And he sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, out of affection, he said to me that, 'Oh Uthman, the oppressors have stopped the supply of water to your house and made you restless.'" And Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu said that I replied that, "Yes, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu continued to say, instantly in the dream, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made a bucket of water towards me, in which there was very sweet and fresh water, very sweet, cold and fresh water. So drinking that water quenched my thirst. And now in the state of wakefulness, even now I can feel the coolness of that water that I drank in the dream between my shoulders and between my chest. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said to me that, "Oh Uthman, if you wish, then we will help you against the rebels. And if you want, you can come and break your fast in our court with us." So, "Oh Abdullah bin Salam, I became elated, I became happy, and I said that, 'Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, breaking my fast in your court is better than thousands and millions of lives to me.'" Allahu Akbar. This is the dream that Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu relayed to Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu. And in other words, Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu foretold about his martyrdom, that this is what happened, this is what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam offered me, and this is what I chose. That rather than staying alive in this world, rather than having a life without you, Ya Rasulullah, I prefer to break my fast in your court. This is better for me than thousands and millions of lives. So Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu, he says after this that I left. And on the same night, the rebels, they martyred Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. So dear viewers, we come to know over here that how Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu foretold about his martyrdom to Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu. And how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam offered his help, his assistance to Uthman ibn Ghani radiallahu anhu, but Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu chose to meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam over living a prosperous life in this world. So dear viewers, this is also a miraculous event, a saintly miracle of Uthman ibn Ghani radiallahu anhu, that he became aware of his martyrdom before he was martyred, and he relayed the entire account to Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu, and the dream that he saw where he beheld the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the water that he drank, which the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gave him, and the coolness of the water that he felt even after waking up. These are all those miraculous events that were manifested by Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, alluding to his great status and rank that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with. And another beautiful lesson, dear viewers, that we learn from this very account is the passion of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How greatly passionate he was when it came to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that in such intense and severe circumstances, he radiallahu anhu was still fasting. And the time he radiallahu anhu was martyred, he was reciting the Quran. This was his love for fasting for the Quran. And here we are, who have all the luxuries that we can think of, but we are far away from remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let alone keeping nafl, being optional fasts. Some of the unfortunate people, ma'adallah, even don't fast the obligatory fasts of Ramadan either. When was it last time that we recited the Quran? How closely are we attached, linked to the Quran? How passionate and eager are we to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This very miraculous event of Uthman ibn Ghani radiallahu anhu is questioning us, asking us that what is our state when it comes to show our devotion in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to show our submission in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in regards to obligatory actions. And the second miraculous event, dear viewers, that we will talk about today is regarding Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu foretelling about where he will be buried. This is again something amazing and astonishing from the fact, dear viewers, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants this authority, this knowledge to his chosen servants, that they become aware of the place of their burial before they even pass away. And this was also the case with Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. He radiallahu anhu indicated the place where he would be buried. And this account is reported by none other than Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh. So Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh reports that once Amirul Mu'mineen Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu went to that part of Jannatul Baqi which is called Hashir Kawkab. Now this area of Jannatul Baqi, the famous graveyard of Madinatul Munawwara, this very part, Hashir Kawkab, was situated at a distance, and at that time there wasn't any grave over there. So Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu goes over there. He stood over there at a place and he said that soon a righteous individual would be buried over here. He said a righteous person would be buried over here. And keep in mind, dear viewers, that at the time when Uthman ibn Ghani radiallahu anhu mentioned this, there were no graves in that area, in that place. After Uthman ibn Ghani radiallahu anhu mentioned this, then the martyrdom of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu took place. Now, when Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu was martyred, his burial should have taken place where Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu or Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu were buried, or in Jannatul Baqi, in the main area of Jannatul Baqi where other prominent Sahaba were buried. Because Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu is the leader of believers, is Amirul Mu'mineen. So where other prominent Sahaba are buried, he should also be buried over there. This is what any intellectual person would think of. But dear viewers, the circumstances in which the martyrdom of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu took place, we vaguely, briefly covered in our last event that we spoke about, where rebels had laid a siege to his house and they ended up martyring Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. Imagine, dear viewers, that Amirul Mu'mineen has embraced martyrdom, and as we mentioned earlier, that any person with rationale would imagine that he would be buried where other prominent Sahaba are buried. But the rebels created such a commotion, such a clamor, that they did not let Amir al-Mu'mineen Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anh to be buried in the main part of Jannat al-Baqi, the part where other prominent Sahaba were buried. So his burial had to take place in a distant area, slightly in the area that was slightly away from where the prominent Sahaba at the time were buried. And he radiallahu anh was buried at the very spot which he had indicated before when he once went to Jannat al-Baqi in the region of Hashikokab that we know as, which was slightly away from the main area of Jannat al-Baqi where prominent Sahaba were buried, and he radiallahu anhu was buried in that very area because the rebels, they didn't let the burial of Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu take place in the main area of Jannat al-Baqi where other prominent Sahaba were buried. So Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu was buried in that area of Jannat al-Baqi that was known as Hashik Kawkab, the area which Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu had indicated prior to his martyrdom that soon a righteous individual, a righteous person will be buried here. And it was none other than himself that he was indicating towards. So he radiallahu anhu was buried at that very place. And at that time there were not other graves over there. But now the area of Jannat al-Baqi has expanded quite a lot. But at that time, it wasn't the case. At that time, it wasn't so. At that time, there was sort of a secluded area, and Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu had indicated about it prior to his passing, prior to his martyrdom. So dear viewers, many awliya karam rahimahumullah have mentioned in their biographies, in their seerahs, that when and where would they pass away and where would they be buried. At this point, dear viewers, we need to be very careful. A certain ignorant people, those who lack knowledge, they misinterpret the verses of Quran and try to lead people astray, misguide people in the light of incorrect interpretation of the verses of the Quran, and try to say that no one can know about where would they pass away, or when would they pass away, or where would they be buried. For example, in Surah Luqman, verse number 34, it is stated, and one does not know in which land he will die. And no doubt, dear viewers, the verses of the Quran are haq. They are the truth. And this verse is also truth. This verse is also haq, that one does not know that in which land will he die. However, dear viewers, based on this verse, we cannot deduce that the awliya are not given this knowledge that where will they die or when will they die. Because although the verse of the Quran is absolute truth, however, the meaning of this verse is that no one can intrinsically know, inherently know, that where will they die. No one can acquire this information, this knowledge by themselves. If Allah Almighty grants them this knowledge, then they can come to know. So in this case, the knowledge that the awliya have, the knowledge that the awliya possess, it is of course by the bestowal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the meaning of the verse where it says that, and one does not know in which land he will die, it is that one does not know inherently, intrinsically. He does not know from his own self. This is what is the meaning of this verse of the Quran and all those verses where there is a negation of people knowing, of awliya knowing all, or the messengers knowing about something. This is what it refers to, that they do not know intrinsically. They don't have this knowledge themselves. It is by the grant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the bestowal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the negation in such verses of the Quran refers to having knowledge by oneself without the bestowal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants knowledge of a certain thing to his messenger, to his prophet through a wahi, or through ilham or kashf to his wali, to any other miraculous event, then dear viewers, this does not contradict the verse, because the negation in such kind of verses refer to having knowledge by oneself without Allah granting it. But when Allah is granting that knowledge, then this is totally in conformity of the verses of the Quran. So dear viewers, when we come to know that Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu mentioned about when he would pass away, where he would be buried, this was of course by the bestowal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the verse declared that one does not know in which land he will pass away. If we keep this verse word to word on one side, and then if we talk about Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu talking about the land that he will be buried in, apparently without understanding the Quran, without understanding the true meanings of the Quran, one would ma'adallah deduce that Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu is ma'adallah going against the Quran over here. That Allah is saying that no one can come to know about the land in which he will die. But Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu is mentioning where he would be buried. So, we need to understand the Quran properly, dear viewers. Such verses, again, I would reiterate the same point, that the verses that negate anyone having knowledge of anything, it refers to them having knowledge by themselves without the bestowal, without the grant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When our belief is that Allah granted this knowledge, their knowledge is not from themselves, and Allah granted this knowledge. Allah's knowledge is by Himself. No one granted knowledge to Allah. Allah's knowledge is independently by Himself. Allah's knowledge is everlasting, whereas the creation's knowledge is by the grant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Creation's knowledge is perishable, that is limited, that is finite, whereas Allah's knowledge is infinite. Allah's knowledge is not perishable. Allah's knowledge is by Himself. No one granted Him knowledge, but Allah grants knowledge to His chosen servants. So when we clarify our beliefs in the light of this principle, everything falls into place. And everything is in conformity with the teachings of the Quran, with the verses of the Quran. Otherwise, if we misinterpret the verses of the Quran and deduce wrong meanings of them, as is the case in this very verse, verse number 34 of Surah Luqman, as some ignorant people, they do so, then ma'adallah, it would mean that many of the companions, many of the awliya, ma'adallah, thumma ma'adallah, went against the teachings of the Quran. No, dear viewers. When we understand the Quran in its right meanings, then everything confirms to the verses of the Quran as well. As in this case as well, Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu mentioned about the place where he would be buried. And then when we keep the verse of the Quran next to the account, his own incident that he mentioned, and when we understand the verse of the Quran, that this knowledge is given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His knowledge is not by, is from himself. It is not that he has this knowledge without Allah granting him. This is not our belief. Our belief is that his knowledge is by the means of Allah granting him this knowledge through akarama, through ilham. Then, of course, there's no contradiction between the verses of the Quran and these saintly, miraculous events. So this was just a small clarification, dear viewers. And we've covered in today's episode regarding Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu mentioning about his passing away to Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu, and also him talking about the place of burial where he radiallahu anhu would be buried. And the time when he disclosed this, no one could even imagine that Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, the leader of believers, would be buried in this very part of Jannatul Baqi, which is slightly far away from the main area where the prominent Sahaba were buried. May Allah Almighty shower His countless mercy upon Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu and forgive us all without accountability for His sake. Ameen. Bijahi khatam al-Nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Companion. Miraculous events of companions. Miraculous events of companions. Miraculous events of companions. Radiallahu.